for September 11th, 2018. The time right now is 7:07 p.m. Ms. Atkinson, will you please call the roll? Oh, I'm sorry. For the recording, we have a new recording system, and I am in the process of learning how to use it. Ms. Atkinson.
Certainly, council members present and establishing a quorum are Scarborough, Cutaback, Hanford, Rasmussen, Camp, and Gamble.
Thank you. And did we hear from Councilmember Davis that he would not be here this evening? Okay, well, so we'll go ahead and announce for the record when he enters the chambers. He's not here at this point in time. Councilmember Scarborough, will you please lead us in the pledge? Thank you. And before we begin, I'm going to ask Council if you would be willing to revise the agenda. I do have a proclamation to read in. And please let the record show that Councilmember Davis entered chambers at 7:08 p.m. Council members, is there any objection to me reading in a proclamation for September 11th? Thank you. Proclamation, whereas 17 years ago, nearly 3,000 people lost their lives in an act that was meant to damage the American spirit and hurt our nation. And whereas our nation watched with stunned silence, tears, and disbelief the devastation which was unfolding before them, and first responders selflessly sacrificed their lives to save others from danger. And whereas our nation became stronger, our bonds became greater, our will has strengthened, and we became more determined in our resolve. And whereas we hope in our future, find courage in the darkness, seek comfort in the knowledge that lives which were lost will not be forgotten, and encourage unity for all those around us during times of peace and times of peril. And whereas today we honor a nation, remember those who sacrificed their lives, and stand together in unity on a day we will never forget, as we recognize the 17th year of the events of September 11th, 2001. Now, therefore, I, Jeffrey Thomas, do hereby recognize September 11th, 2018 as Patriot Day and encourage Monroe's residents and businesses to remember our nation and those who lost their lives on this day 17 years ago and stand with each other as a community. Thank you, everybody. We're going to go ahead and move into public hearing. Public hearing item number one, AB 18-187, ordinance number 022-2018, adopting pre-annexation zoning. First hearing, first reading. Ms. Moreno. Anita? And you'll notice that we do not have a microphone at the podium. We do have microphones up off the ceiling, and that should be okay to transmit. Okay? Go ahead. Thank you. Council members, are there any questions? Is there a, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to open up the public hearing. Is there anybody here that would like to give testimony on this evening? And I'm sorry, before we begin with that, Mr. Well.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As I've discussed with staff, the act of zoning this single specific piece of property is arguably quasi-judicial under state law. For that reason, the state appearance of fairness doctrine does apply to this proceeding. The appearance of fairness doctrine, as the council is aware from previous site-specific decisional processes, is a legal doctrine that requires your proceedings to be fair not only in fact but also in appearance. With your leave, Mr. Mayor, I will lead the council through a few appearance of fairness disclosure questions, and in the interest of expediency, I'll simply run through them, and if any council member has a concern or affirmative answer, they can speak at the end.
That works for me. Please continue.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Does any council member have a financial interest in the property that is being considered for zoning this evening? Does any council member have a family member who is an applicant or otherwise a party of record? Does any council member have a personal or familial employment or other business relationship with any party of record? Does any council member own property within 500 feet of the property in question? Is any council member aware of any other personal interest or involvement with the proposal, the property, or the parties of record that should be fairly disclosed? Is any council member aware of any personal bias for or against the proposed rezone or with respect to the property? Has any council member prejudged any of the issues relevant to tonight's proceeding? Is any council member aware of any reason why he or she would not be able to perform his or her duties in an objective, impartial, and fair manner? Has any council member had any any ex parte communications regarding this proposal while the proposal has been pending before the council? I would like to state for the record that if any member of the public wishes to challenge any of the council members based on their responses tonight or any other issue that should be disclosed, the opportunity to do that will end once the disclosure process is completed. And for the record, none of the council members has indicated an affirmative answer to any questions, so unless there's anything else from you, Mr. Mayor, or the council, that would conclude the appearance of fairness disclosure process.
Thank you, Mr. Well. All right, we're going to go ahead and open up the public hearing. Is there anybody that would like to provide public testimony regarding this proposed ordinance? Please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. No, thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to give public testimony this evening? Anybody at all? Okay, seeing none, council members, do you have any questions or deliberation or a motion? I'm sorry, Councilmember Hanford. Just a second, sir. You're on.
I move to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing.
I have a motion from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen to move to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Councilmember Hanford.
I move to close the public hearing.
I have a motion to close the public hearing from Councilmember Hanford and a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Councilmember Hanford.
I move to accept as first reading ordinance number 022-2018, adopting pre-annexation zoning for a 0.95-acre parcel, commonly known as 13107, 197th Avenue Southeast, located at the corner of 197th Avenue Southeast and Chin Lake Road, also known as the Main View Stall Annexation Area, pursuant to RCW 35A.14.330, adopting supportive findings, providing for severability, and establishing an effective date.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Cutterback for requested action C in Agenda Bill Number 18-187 as typed. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. We'll go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda, that item being announcements and presentations. Presentation item number one, vaping, with Mr. Jury. Good evening.
Thank you.
Mr. Drury, before you move off that slide, Councilmember Camp. Councilmember Camp, I'm going to try it on the left side of the screen. There you go.
Popcorn. Thank you.
Councilmembers, do you have any questions or comments? Councilmember Cuddeback, just a second. Councilmember Cuddeback.
Oh, thank you. Mr. Jury, I want to thank you for attending and giving the presentation. I heard this presentation last June, I think, at Hidden River. I have a seventh grader now at Hidden River, and looking at the data, I was really concerned about our usage at Monroe High versus the state, and I was also concerned about, you know, nicotine addiction with our youth, and then also kind of the lack of regulation or enforcement that we can currently have in our society around this. And then also what I've noticed is out at the smaller community parks, there's kids vaping in our parks. So when I look at this, this is not just a school district issue. It really is a community issue, and moving forward, looking at ways that we might be able to support the school district in tackling this problem, because I certainly want our kids to be set up to be successful. And I look at this as we don't know the effects, as you mentioned, 20 years from now, like we didn't know about smoking in the 50s. We have no idea. And they are targeting kids with this. So that's something to be concerned about. Adults make choices, but our kids, I believe, deserve extra protection. And currently in what you're looking at, it doesn't appear that they're getting that. So I'm not sure how we move forward, but I think because this is an issue in our parks, it at least deserves some attention by city officials or council. Thank you.
Just a second. Councilmember Camp. Councilmember Hanford, you were next. So let me see if I can make a change here. Councilmember Camp, go ahead and reactivate your mic. Councilmember Hanford, you're up.
Thank you. Thank you for your presentation tonight. I appreciate all of your work, everyone on the coalition there as well. I concur with the concern about the high school students, and I know that regarding the parks, we updated all our signs so that they say no vaping as well, but I understand there's still a concern there, so but thank you very much.
Thank you. Councilmember Kim.
Thank you. Going back to Councilmember Cuddeback's comment, so we have all the second smoke laws throughout the state. Is vaping covered there as well, or does this sounds like it would have the same impact. If you're saying the cigarette smoking, maybe it would have the same impact out there, and it's spreading out at the same rate, then it's probably picture.
Are there, since we have second-hand smoke alarms, now are there at second-hand vaping may or may not have the same kind of effect? Okay, what I'm concerned about. Okay. But I'm just thinking, if we have the back of the state for enforcement purposes, I didn't know if it was just wide open in terms of vaping, so you could have a cigarette smoker and say, walk away, or a vapor could enforce it. But it sounds like, so we're not restricted.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
So I get that it's new. I'm puzzled that we don't have, it's still a decade old, right? There's no studies at all over the last decade. No.
There are some. But I think there's a difference
as a parent, I sit through that presentation, right? What I heard in the presentation was everything that a kid says when they're trying to, well, hey, it's not as bad as smoking, it's not this, not that. I mean, basically just solidified their argument to a parent. Did I hear that? I heard that correctly then, right?
Pretty much. Like I said, this is a very different presentation. Mm-hmm. But
sure. Right. The concern, though, that I heard was more in regards to the nicotine addiction, which that makes total sense to me. It's more the... More towards the nicotine addiction, not actually the active vaping.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
I just had one last comment. I said this last June, and because kids will say it's safer than cigarettes, that doesn't make it safe. And you know, everything's relative. So just because it might be a little safer than cigarettes doesn't mean it's safe for our kids or that they should be doing it.
Thank you. Councilmember Campbell.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. I just sitting through the presentation, that's one of those things where you look and you go, oh, well, that is there, you know, the argument. There is not a lot that I saw in there that was, hey, we need to be alarm belling, blowing whistles, other than the addiction part of the equation. The other piece, I guess, that I didn't see in there is we also, I see in the, you know, in the news a lot of times are exploding devices.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything further, counsel? Mr. Jury, thank you very much. We're going to go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda. This is public comments. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter that is subject to a public hearing. We do have a sign-in sheet. Has anybody signed in? Nobody signed in. Is there anybody that would like to come forward to speak to the City Council this evening? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Motion to approve consent agenda.
We have a motion to approve the consent agenda from Councilmember Rasmussen with a second from Councilmember Scarborough. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. The clerk will read in consent agenda item number 5, which is an ordinance, please. Oh. There you go.
Thank you. Approved through the vote on the consent agenda is ordinance number 021-2018, amending Title 12 MMC by the addition of a new Chapter 12.50, Complete Streets, establishing a new city policy of encouraging the scoping, planning, designing, construction, operation, and maintenance of transportation facilities to safely accommodate pedestrians, bicyclists, public transportation users, motorists, emergency responders, freight, and users of all ages and abilities in accordance with RCW 47.04.320, providing for severability and fixing a time when the same shall become effective. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Next item on the agenda comes under new businesses. New business item number 1, AB 18-190, approval of 2019 Choose Monroe Magazine project and authorization of application for grant funding. Ms. Knight.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. The issue in front of you this evening is to authorize submission of an LTAC grant application to Snohomish County for the Choose Monroe magazine. This is a requirement of the grant application that the Council affirm that it has seen the grant application and supports the project overall. If the city is funded for this grant application, together with the $10,000 that we have been awarded through the city's LTAC program, plus the ad revenue, together, all those revenue sources will pay for the majority of the magazine, then relieving general fund revenues for other sources.
Thank you. Council? Councilmember Hanford. Just a second. Councilmember Hanford.
I move to authorize funding of the 2019 Choose Monroe Magazine project and authorize the submission of the Snohomish County Hotel Motel Small Fund Grant Application for the Choose Monroe Visitor's Guide.
I have a motion from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Cutaback for the requested action as typed in Agenda Bill Number 18-190. Any discussion on the motion? Ms. Knight, did you have something further? Okay, we'll go ahead and move to vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is new business item number 2. This is AB 18-191, resolution number 018-2018, adopting City of Monroe debt policy. Ms. Hassard, delegate number 12.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So what you have before you this evening is the culmination of about 6 months' worth of work on the Finance Committee's part, so thank you very much for your dedication to this. This is the proposal to adopt a formal debt policy for the city. The city has utilized debt in the past, however, we have never had a formal debt policy, and this had become an issue with regards to our last debt ratings update. One of the things that they gave back to us as potential areas to improve upon was to actually adopt a formal debt policy that would address the 5 best practices that are illustrated by the National Finance Officers Association, which includes having a policy that talks about what are your debt limits, how do you want to structure your debt, what kind of practices do you incorporate when you're issuing debt, how do you manage the debt, and the fact that we just don't use derivatives. Now, just as a point of reference, the last item is actually restricted by law in the state of Washington anyhow, so we couldn't do any derivative-type debt here in Washington. So with that, I'm pretty much going to leave it, turn it over to the mayor and council for any questions or potentially if anyone on the Finance Committee would like to say anything.
Thank you, Ms. Hassard. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I would just say that 6 months, I mean, we met several times. It was a couple meetings we dedicated to the topic. And, you know, really, anytime you go, you know, through an examination, you'll get recommendations on, you know, how to tighten your policies. And the best practice, a lot of this is even just kind of putting into policy what was already practice for the city. So really just putting what we're already doing into a policy document and capturing it. But there was studying, like we always like to do, looking at like for like, surrounding areas, different debt policies that were considered best practice for cities our size. Becky, Finance Department, did a great job kind of looking that stuff out, and we had quite a few items that we discussed, and if there was any area that we like to leave ourselves the most options, I would say, in the policy side. So if there was an area where we wanted just a little bit more flexibility, we left that in and didn't write it in. So anything else from the other committee members?
Anything further? If there aren't any questions, or is there a motion? Councilmember Cutterback?
Just a question on the chart of the liabilities, so the schedule of liabilities. There's kind of midway through the page, there's a couple numbers in red. Is there a reason for that? Okay. I was just wondering. That was different than all the rest and didn't know why. So... Well, thank you for spending the time in doing this. I think this is important to have this in the policy, and I want to thank the committee for spending the time doing it. So I will need to make a motion here. Let me get back up. Oh, what? Riveting? I'm sure Becky was entertaining, but I will move to approve resolution number 018-2018 adopting the City of Monroe debt policy.
We have a motion from Councilmember Cutterback, a second from Councilmember Gamble for the requested action as typed in Agenda Bill number 18-191. Any discussion on the motion? Councilmember Gamble, your light is on.
Yeah.
Okay, Councilmember Gamble.
I just want to say before we vote, I want to thank Becky very much. Did a fantastic job doing the research, educating all the committee members. It was a very, very good process. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, if there's nothing further, we'll go ahead and vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions. Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much, everybody. We'll go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda. This is council member reports. We'll go ahead and start down on the end. Councilmember Scarborough. Whoop, what did I skip? That's because I crossed off final action number one. It's a lack of technology, just a pen and paper here. Sorry. We're going to go ahead and move on to final action number one. This is AB 18-192, approval of 2019 legislative priorities. Ms. Knight.
And A.J. Dotshauer, Director of Government Relations, are both here this evening from Strategies 360. We approved their contract at the last regular council meeting, and we have already started working together. We were together earlier today talking about one of the items on the legislative priorities, and that's the park funding options. So we had a conference call with the lobbyist from the Washington Recreation and Parks Association and Representative Carolyn Eslick. So some of that work is already underway. Mr. Farrell was a part of that meeting as well. And we are going to be meeting tomorrow with the mayor and talking about our strategy around the SR 522 and US-2 coalitions. So work is already underway, and I want to thank the staff from Strategies 360 for jumping in with both feet, because they've attended a lot of meetings or will be attending a lot of meetings just as their contract is getting started with us. This legislative priorities are coming to the council a little bit earlier than usual. We typically bring this to you in late October and early November, and the reason for that is because we're typically looking to at the lay of the land and beginning to see kind of where other agencies are identifying their priorities, so we can be sure and be supportive of things that seem to be kind of coalescing around the next legislative session. The reason for bringing this to you earlier than usual is because we have a delegation that is traveling to Washington, D.C. at the end of the month, and we wanted to make sure that as that delegation, we weren't speaking out of turn about things the council hasn't already discussed. So just because we're adopting these this evening or approving these legislative priorities doesn't mean that they won't continue to fluctuate between now and the start of the legislative session in January. A lot of these are priorities that the council has seen and has previously supported, and so I'm going to spend the majority of the remainder of my time just really talking about those things that have changed. So what you are, in effect, supporting, then, is the attachment A, and it's the two-sided sheet you'll have in your agenda packet this evening. I did try and summarize that list, but the summary didn't include everything. It was just supposed to be more of a highlight of the main issues. The SR 522, completing the practical design and looking for funding, I think is the council's kind of primary focus in addition to the all-weather fields at Lake Tai. We've added on US 2 capacity and safety improvements. There does seem to be, again, some coalescing around trying to ensure that there are some capacity improvements between Monroe and Sultan particularly. What we're finding is that folks are unwilling to travel on US 2, which is impacting our own economy. People don't want to travel on a Sunday afternoon, and they certainly, as they're trying to come back from wherever they were east of the mountains, they don't want to stop in Monroe because they've spent so much time on the highway. This is a priority for Representative Carolyn Eslick, and we want to be supportive on US 2 safety. One item that was on the list last year that's continuing is the 191st Street extension, and this is continuing to be a priority for us in part because we've been told by the Transportation Improvement Board that this project does not qualify for any of their grant funding. And so grant funds aren't an option from that source, and so we really are looking to the state legislature to, again, kind of support this project and see what we can do about getting some legislative provisos in order to create this really important connection between the neighborhood development that's happening on the north side of town and downtown. I know council is really supportive of trying to have another safety exit up off the hill, in addition to trying to address some of the capacity improvements that Chain Lake Road has been experiencing. One item that we want to support on transportation that was brought to my attention by the engineering department but is not on this list, and I would ask council to consider adding it, is that currently we are doing much of our arterial preservation through the Transportation Improvement Board's Arterial Preservation Program. It's called the APP. That program is only eligible for cities that have a population greater than 5,000 but have an assessed value less than $2 billion. And so we have reached over that $2 billion mark. The state legislature has amended that mark at $2 billion level and has changed it as assessed values around the state have increased. And so, again, we're just wanting to bring this to our legislators' attention that it's a housekeeping item and that as assessed values continue to fluctuate, that this program is still important for cities of our size. So we're going to be asking for your support and as an addition to what you see in front of you this evening. On the second page, then, we've already talked multiple times about Lake Tai Park, and Mr. Farrell has an update on those grant applications later for you this evening. We have added support funding options for park operations. This was on the legislative priorities list last year, and as I mentioned earlier this evening, it's finally getting some traction. And so we're actually talking about specific requests for legislation, and we're hoping to move that ball a little bit further down the field, if not actually get it across the goal line potentially at the end of this year. So we'd like continued support around that. The idea there, as we talked with the Finance Committee earlier this evening, is really to provide additional funding sources for parks operations and maintenance. We have good funding sources for capital projects, but where we've noticed a lot of shortcomings is as our general fund budgets have been limited to the 1% increase annually, the need for public safety has really begun to outstrip our ability to fund parks. And so we're looking for other funding sources for operations and maintenance, and that's what this proposal is. As I mentioned earlier, we've got the support of the Washington Recreation and Parks Association, and their lobbyist, Doug Levy, is beginning to work with specific members in the state legislature trying to lay the groundwork then for moving some legislation forward in this next session. We've got the Boys and Girls Club facility improvements, and that building is owned by the City of Monroe. We do have a request in that we are working with the Boys and Girls Club on Bill Sokolis around supporting doing some additional improvements to that building. They are also in conversation with Representative Eslick, and she's providing some strategy support for this project, and so it's not our direct request, but it is a support for the request for the Boys and Girls Club for those facility improvements. And then the last two items that we have are, again, those fiscal policy issues around human services, homelessness, and affordable housing, just continuing to support anything that the state legislature can do to assist, particularly with affordable housing and, again, with those homelessness and human service programs. And then finally, the annexations, which has been a challenge, I think, for a number of jurisdictions, particularly in Snohomish County, and the process that the county currently has in place, and the Boundary Review Board. So we're, again, just looking for some traction around explaining to the state legislature the challenges that we have with doing annexations of areas that are already within our urban growth area, which means that it shouldn't be such an effort in order to bring those areas into the city limits. There was a recent news report of a large land sale, and it was reported as being in Monroe, and when we went into the assessors to look to see where that parcel was, it's actually within our UGA but not within the city limits. We did not receive any REIT funding for that sale. I think it was over $13 million if I remember correctly, and we won't receive any real estate excise tax for the sale of those homes or for the sales tax for the delivery of products as those single-family residential homes are being built. So that's an area that we are asked to serve, and yet trying to annex that area in is a challenge under the current system in Snohomish County. So we did list a few federal legislative priorities, and again, this was the majority of the effort that we were looking for this evening for our delegation as we head over to Washington, D.C. at the end of the month. Railroad crossing safety studies, so some funding from the federal government in order to take a look at all of the crossings that we have here in Monroe and beginning to identify those crossings that would be eligible and appropriate for some either overpass or underpass, particularly around public safety and congestion. We would also ask the council, although it wasn't specifically listed on here, any support that the federal government and our federal legislators might be able to provide for us around capacity improvements on SR 522 and US 2 both. Again, US 2 being a federal highway, not a state highway. And then finally, just supporting the other U.S. Conference of Mayors and the National League of Cities, looking for mental health support, opioid epidemic support as we try and fight those addictions. And then finally, trying to preserve local government authority to manage its rights of way, particularly, again, as the telecom companies look to add facilities into the right of way and kind of preempt our authority in that area right now to manage those and plan for them. So that's what you have in front of you as far as a legislative agenda is concerned. Again, not necessarily set in stone, but just something for us to be able to begin to work with as we continue towards the legislative session in January.
Thank you, Ms. Knight. Councilmember Hanford, just a second. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. I move to approve the City of Monroe 2019 legislative priorities as presented.
I have a motion from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Cutterback for the requested action in Agenda Bill 18-192. Discussion on the motion? Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. I had a question about the House Bill 2538 that passed that authorized cities to eliminate impact fees for homeless shelters and emergency domestic violence shelters. I guess it passed last year. My question is does it eliminate those impact fees? Because we have something in our ordinance where we waive, like with Housing Hope, some of their impact fees. We couldn't eliminate them. We had to pay. It came from somewhere within the city, but we didn't charge that to Housing Hope. But does this bill eliminate the need to collect, period? Yeah, it's just on the, it's in the documents under the outcome. Yeah. So it was House Bill. Yeah, so it said it passed. Okay.
the reason I bring it up, just curious, because as we look at issues, and we know that in our community there's not a lot of options for beds or shelters or homeless, so it's just something that caught my eye. Right. 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 Right, and the reason, I mean, we had Housing Hope, which provided low-income housing for a lot of residents in our community. We had a couple great, and it's a great relationship with the city. We were able, by our own ordinance, waive the fees, some of the impact fees, but we have to pay that back. We have to pay into that fund. It's not eliminated, per se. It comes from somewhere within the city budget. This made it sound like we could eliminate and not have to pay ourselves back or charge. So I'm just curious. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. No, that's fine.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. I guess the question I have for Zach, more for transparency, with the Boys and Girls Club being on the legislative priority and that, and the Boys and Girls Club being my employer, is there a reason or concern or anything that I should not be a part of this vote, or?
Anything further? All right, we'll go ahead and move to vote. We have a motion on the table. It's been seconded. It's for the requested action in Agenda Bill Number 18192 that's before you as typed. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. All right, now we'll go on to councilmember reports. We'll go ahead and start on the end today. Councilmember Scarborough. Thank you. Councilmember Cuddeback. Okay. Councilmember Hanford.
Parade, appreciation dinner, and that was great to be with different community leaders, and just so appreciate the camaraderie in our community and how the different district, school district, and police, and fire, county, everyone comes together for that. So. And then just wanted to thank you, Mayor, for your proclamation being in the meeting tonight.
Yep.
Thank you for taking the time to remember those good laws.
Thank you. And thank you for the recommendation. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. I had the opportunity to attend the Monroe School Board meeting last night, and I don't remember the person's name, but from the district staff gave a report to the board on housing starts here in the city and within the district, and you know, the question came up of how easy is it to get the information, and it was made very clear that the city of Monroe gets the information to them very quickly and efficiently, county not so much. So thank you to city staff for all the good work, and kudos to them. So that was cool to hear. Outside of that, thank you to all involved with Council Chambers. This looks great.
Thank you. All right, Councilmember Davis. Just a second. Still learning the bugs here, Councilmember Davis.
I also wanted to
Councilmember Camp, let's try your microphone again. You're on. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
I'm jealous. Fair was great, Brave was great. Appreciate everybody putting all the effort to put it all together, as you do every year. Proclamation is very good, the ones I heard today. There is one request I have. I've just found out about flag protocol. The flags that cannot go to half staff have a black ribbon around them. I don't know if the council would like to do it. I, like I said, I just found out about that.
Yeah, we can certainly do that.
Great.
So we'll have staff look into the black ribbon that you were just referencing.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, Faraday's Parade was great. We missed you this year, Patsy, but I'm sure your vacation was fantastic. So I think we have our first picture without, we were minus one, but we can always Photoshop you in. That actually might be quite fun. Brad, maybe you can work on that. And then also attended the ribbon cutting ceremony. Actually, Councilmember Camp was there too for Park Place, and man, that was fantastic. If you haven't had a chance, I think there's an open house coming up for the entire community on Saturday. It's just an absolutely beautiful school, and of course the fields are fantastic too, all turf, lighted. It's fantastic. I love what they did with the gym. They got the old gym floors like they do. They put them up on the walls, so they've got that historic piece. But the students were just ecstatic, and you could just see the pride on faces and pride on a lot of the teachers' faces on that first day. It was great. And on a side note, it was neat because they had the ASB officers cut the ribbon. So my son, he's the treasurer this year, so I got to see him cut the ribbon. So that was really cool. I too appreciate the proclamation very, very much. And then also just wanted to bring attention for those that didn't know, we did have a pretty significant event for the Monroe family happened this last Monday with some very dear friends of ours and kind of pillars of the community, the Edelbrock family. And I just I bring it up because it just reminds us how precious life is. I've learned over the last week how wonderful this community is. I already knew that, but even more, for those that are interested in wanting to feel like they want to contribute or help in any way, there's a GoFundMe site out there for the family. On the 28th of this month, there's also an event going to be held at it's Haywire Brewing. Snohomish, a lot of the proceeds from that day, be a chance for people to interact with each other, maybe read a little bit, but also raise money for the family. So.
Thank you. We go ahead and go on a note to staff and department reports. We'll start off with Ms. Knight, economic development update.
Thank you, Mr. Eric. I provided you with the topic of the update, and it's front of your chairs there. Hopefully you'll have an opportunity to look for it. Just briefly though, I had an opportunity to reach out and meet with more businesses. Most recently we met with a company, Deluxe Brand Management in the Frylands, and it has come to my attention that we have a collection of kind of brand and image enhancement companies over there. I think there are four or five of them now at this point. And hopefully we'll be able to move on that synergy a little bit. Those are great paying jobs, and they really get the city of Monroe out in a worldwide market. So Deluxe, for example, does work for Kombucha. They do ice drinks. They do Amazon. So if you go to work for Amazon and you get a branded backpack or branded pens, all of those things come actually from Deluxe here in Monroe. So it's quite amazing. They recently, when I was there, they were explaining to me that they actually bought out all the clear backpacks practically in the universe because Amazon wanted them for their employees. Apparently, those are really highly valued for getting into concerts because you don't have to open up the backpack because they're clear. So apparently, there are none left in the world at this point because Deluxe has purchased them all.
They're
so if you're looking for one, go to your friends at Amazon.
I also want to just recognize, and I have this in the written materials, but really how value-added having James Palmer on board as our economic development specialist has been. He's been really helpful in following up with business owners who want to move their businesses, come to Monroe, or expand. He has continued to reach out to businesses that have identified during the survey that they are interested in doing something more with their current business and really trying to assist those businesses to grow in Monroe as opposed to relocate elsewhere. I did have a couple of bullet points in the materials just about the Economic Development Advisory Board. So just a reminder that the applications for the board are due this Friday. And again, Mr. Palmer has done an outstanding job at reaching particularly out to our manufacturers in the Frylands and getting a number of those folks to apply to be on the Economic Development Advisory Board. So hopefully we'll see some faces and have some ideas and input from people that and business owners that we haven't previously heard from. Those applications will be coming forward to the City Council sometime in early October. We're hoping to have our first meeting in mid-October. We need to adopt an ordinance or a resolution establishing that board, and that'll happen at the end of this month. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now go on to Parks and Recreation update with Mr. Farrell. And Mr. Farrell, are you Delegate 17? Yes. Go for it.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. Scooch this a little closer. Okay, so you have before you copies of the department updates, and so I'm not going to go into details, but just wanted to update you on Lake Tahoe Synthetic Fields design that's ongoing. We got great input last month from the public and user groups on the schematic design for the field, so we're going to have two soccer fields, the ability to play two lacrosse games, and two baseball games on those fields. And so we should have something as far as a final schematic design for those fields. I'm hoping within the next few weeks that I'll be sharing with the council. So we've had a lot of events, and we've also been making use of that mobile stage. So I know it showed up at the parade, made an appearance there, and then Wings and Wheels last weekend. And then this Saturday, it's going to be rented at the Evergreen Speedway for an event there as well. Last on the report that you have is the unmarked trails inspections and the past month. As far as labor hours, that's kind of settled into, it looks like, roughly about 8 to 10 hours labor hours. So it's spent on the unmarked trails. And litter was a little bit lower than average this last month. We did have a bit more on the week of September 10th. Discovered a camp at Discover Park by the river and reported that to the police. The week of August 24th, there were no camps found. And then the week of August 13th, there was one camp discovered at Al Borland Park, and that was reported to the police. Off of the written report, I have some news. I just want to update you with the latest on the two grants, RCO state grants that we applied for. One of them was a youth athletic facilities grant, and that was for $350,000. And that, there were, I have a list of projects. There were 55 projects, so it was a very competitive grant process. And we ranked number 13 on that. And all indications are that that would be a funded project. So we want to continue to lobby, though, to make sure that the funding does reach that project. So that's looking pretty good. And then we got the preliminary. I don't have an entire list for the other grant application. This is the Washington Wildlife Recreation Program grant for local parks. And that amount is $500,000. There were 91 projects submitted for that were evaluated, and we scored number 40. So we're in the top half. However, just early indications, it's there's a lot of unknowns at this point to be sure what will happen, but with the anticipated funding request, we may be just, we're looks like we're just outside of that. It's like they got the fishing pole, dollar, you've seen that commercial. a couple of items with that, as far as that, where we stand is that typically there are a few grants applications when it gets time to signing grant agreements that aren't ready for the project, so then that would basically bump it down the list. And so we're basically about $1.5 million away from it reaching us for our $500,000. So again, this kind of stresses that continuing lobby to fund down to where we are. We're just right there. So I just wanted to give you an update on that. We'll be looking at the entire list of projects when we get that from the state, so we can see our competition. And then last, I wanted to follow up. There was a question that was raised, I believe our council member last month, from a citizen. The question was whether it was feasible to look into driving or having a golf cart on park pathways, namely at Lake Ty. So I contacted our insurance authority, WCIA, and Debbie Sellers, she's the senior risk management representative for us, responded. And basically, to accommodate a person's disability, the city does have a duty to make some of its paths accessible to the disabled. And by having a path around the lake paved, this in and of itself is an accommodation. However, if a disabled person wanted to operate a motorized device in order to use the path, it would be reasonable to allow them to use a motorized wheelchair, a bicycle, or a three-wheeled scooter like ones that are available in grocery stores. But they don't believe that the use of a golf cart is reasonable, as it presents a much greater danger to others using the path. A golf cart travels at much higher speeds than any of the other motorized vehicles that I mentioned, and is also much larger. Therefore, the potential for injury to others is also greater. In addition, at our Lake Ty Park, it does not have a designated or areas to park the golf cart outside of the parking lots at the park. So based on the risk of injury, lack of parking, and availability of other means of transportation for the disabled, our insurance authority recommends not allowing golf carts on our pedestrian walking paths. So I just hope that this feedback is what was requested.
Thank you very much, Mr. Barrow.
Okay.
All right, see if I can get this right here. Ah, I did. No, you can stay right there, sir. Let me reactivate your... Okay, you're on. That's what happened before. Okay, it's okay. We'll do this again. It's like flicking the light switches on and off. There we go.
Okay. Honorable Mayor, City Council, first thing I'd like to report on is the Evergreen State Fair traffic control. I want you to know that we had no major issues out there. Your officers did an outstanding job directing traffic, especially the guy in the tower, and I don't know why we don't give him a stool to sit on, but I'm going to look into that. That's got a 4 hours up there in that tower, 6 hours up there, a long time. The only time we had problems is when the freights went side by side out there off 179th. The traffic got backed up a little bit, but all in all, it went well, and it also went well during the parade. One thing that we did this year was we had everybody in uniform during the period the fair was going on. The reason for that, and that included our detectives, so that people, the officers working the fair traffic control, could continue to do that. That gave us 3 or 4 extra officers that they could back up the people out on the road. And it worked out quite well. In fact, one day they weren't that busy. Two of them got on bicycles and actually went into the downtown area, across Highway 2 over to the mall area. And actually, I'm a big proponent of bicycles, especially out there downtown, talking to business people. So maybe that's something the department could look at doing down the road. Other than that, the fair and the parade and everything went really well. In our community outreach team, we have noticed that we are seeing more camps in our parks. We are down there every day, well, actually 2 days a week. The officers actually go in there, too, and contact the folks. They give them the same information. The outreach people give them an opportunity to go into treatment and stuff like that. But we have seen a little bit of an increase, not so much downtown. put in the parks, and we're on that. In their report, substance use disorder assessments completed on 2. We had detox scheduled for 5. Detox completed on 2. We had inpatient treatment scheduled for 4. Entered inpatient, 2. Completed inpatient treatment, 1. Assisted, or we housed 1. Assisted with referral for new housing program, 1. Interim housing, 1. Assisted in ordering out-of-state ID. We had a person that didn't have identification and couldn't get a lot of the resources. So we actually, I think the person was from Georgia, we helped them get ID so they could do that. We also had 5 new clients, and we provided community resources for 3, and that's usually transportation, food, and stuff like that. We also had 1 success story. A current client who completed the GED testing process was able to get his driver's license and has entered into community college starting this fall. And if you get a success story, somebody completing that, that's really a good thing. You got a great program here. You're really doing. These people are very devoted out there. Not just the one officer that was doing it. Irving was doing it for a long time. We've got other officers doing it. They're doing just a good job. As far as patrol goes, I've got a couple of stories here. Officer Nate Erdman spotted a stolen white BMW with no plates parked in the lot off North Kelsey. The vehicle had 1 occupant in it known to him to be a suspect in identity theft investigations. She was found to be the driver of the vehicle. 3 other occupants were identified as they left the store. 1 had a DOC, which is a Department of Corrections escape warrant. That person was transported to jail. The 2 of the other 2 people were released, and we had the female was booked into jail for possession of a stolen vehicle. Inside the vehicle, I believe there were also IDs, things found that were being used in her little identity theft situation. On September 2nd, narcotics canine Sam, our dog that isn't retired, Sam, actually, he and his partner, Officer Devin Tucker, responded to help WSP on a traffic stop off SR2 near Roosevelt. Sam was applied, got a positive hit. WSP, which is the Washington State Patrol, I don't like to use abbreviations on these reports because I sometimes don't know. But they got a search warrant and found 78.6 grams of methamphetamine, which is a great job. Those dogs do a good job out there. Even Lexi did a great job. This last weekend, we were quite busy. If you had a chance to look at the blotter, the officers were really busy. We had an assault between 2 males. During the assault, one of the males actually bit off half the pinky finger of the other, and that assault is under investigation. Last Friday at 9:38 in the evening, we had a fatal car accident, car versus a motorcycle. On Highway 2 between Fryland Boulevard and 179th, the driver of the motorcycle was dead on the scene, died on the scene. A very tragic, tragic thing that shouldn't happen. But I can't really go into any details because we're still under investigation. Yesterday we had a missing 5-year-old from Frank Wagner Elementary right at about 3:30 when school lets out. So obviously everybody got really concerned. We contacted the mother. The mother actually contacted us, and she arrived at school to pick up the daughter, and the daughter wasn't there. Everybody was scrambling. We had people from the high school volunteering to come down and help search the rooms in the elementary school looking for the child. The police department was set up a command post in the police department. We were expanding the search, and we got the idea to check the buses, and there she was on one of the buses. She was found and returned to her parents, but she had actually, mom picks her up every day and takes her home, but she just happened that day to get on a bus. And when the school bus was crying, so it's turned out to be a good thing. She was found. And then we also had a 14-year-old autistic male run away. And, you know, these can be really serious situations because this kid can get, he was actually found later in Snohomish, but he walked a long ways. They can wander off into the woods and you don't find him. And fortunately, Brian Irving had talked to his brother, who's a captain with the Everett Police Department. And guess what? His brother happened to be out that way driving around and saw this kid walking, pulled over. That was the kid. Returned to his family. I also attended diversity. Myself and Becky attended the diversity council meeting at the library the other day, and went to the chamber lunch today, and that was really interesting. The CERS people were there talking about our radio systems, and then I went to the chamber volunteer dinner over at the fairgrounds. The mayor was there and spoke. And I talked to the mayor, and the mayor had a good idea that maybe start bringing in some of our divisions within the police department and introduce them to the council and give them an opportunity to speak to the council. So we were able to maybe set, we're going to bring our PROACT people in, the leaders in on the 18th, I believe, and that will be the first go around. And then the goal is to try to get our detectives in, get our records division in, and just, you know, when we fit them in and they get an opportunity to meet the council and get an opportunity to see who they are. So, but everything's going good in your police department, waiting for your new chief to get here so the old man can retire.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Ricky? All right. I see, Brad, you got the right one there. So Delegate 13 you are now.
Here we are.
Okay. Mr. Feilberg.
Good evening. Thank you. As usual, you have the 45-page report in your council packet. And since it's early, I'm going to read the entire thing verbatim. Not really.
Just the highlights. Yes.
Just the highlights. So we are, as you may have been aware, that Lakeside went on strike for a while there, so we're kind of delayed on finishing up our street projects. Fortunately, they got the road paved out front before the parade started. So they'll be back sometime to put the stripes down and the crosswalks and things like that. They're still kind of working through how they're going to get that scheduled now that it started raining. But they did actually come back and get the school across the street's parking lot paved.
Right. You pushed your button. Can you push it again? Yeah.
Okay. There we go. Now we're back. don't point at it. The last four pages of the report are the official notification from the FEMA for the National Flood Insurance Program. We were recertified last year, and we maintained a rating of 5 out of 10, so the smaller the number, the better you are, so that allows people who are in the special flood hazard area to get flood insurance, get a 25% discount, and people who are outside the special flood hazard area get a 10% discount. And that's all I have to report.
Thank you very much. And we have a report from the fire district. Do we have a report from you tonight? Okay.
Oops. Mr. I'm sorry, Fitzgerald, thank you. Wanted to provide any updates. We would welcome them as well. Thank you.
All right, we'll come on up here to the city administrator update. Ms. Knight.
No grant applications, and I had sent out an update as well. For the East Monroe property, we scored second for the Land and Water Conservation Futures Grant, which means that we are in the funding. I had mentioned earlier that the process for funding is the state legislature will take a look at the funding recommendations from the RCO board as part of the legislative process next year, and then their budget starts, the state's budget starts in July, which typically means we don't see contracts until about October, and they don't typically get signed until December. So we should be seeing a contract for this money if it's approved by the state legislature sometime next year, this time next year. We ended up getting 11th out of 17 for the second grant, so we are well out of the funding for that one. The number one project is asking for $4.7 million out of a $5.1 million pot. So I think only the first two projects were funded for that funding source. Just wanted to give a brief update. The chief mentioned that he's looking forward to his retirement. The city is currently doing the background check for the candidate, Jeffrey Jury. So that includes the background investigation, the polygraph, the psychological test, and those all typically take several weeks to complete, and we don't think we'll be getting any final information in probably until early to mid-November. But we tentatively have the appointment of that position at the last meeting in November. So just looking forward to leading that process. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Mayor's update. We do have update in your packets, and then, sorry, Councilmember Scarborough.
I've had some feedback from citizens around Monroe about our 20-mile-an-hour speed limit between air and air, and their question is why we put it up for 7 to 4:30 all the time, and not when children were present or when school was in session. Why is there a 20-mile-an-hour speed limit when it's a Saturday or a Sunday or a holiday? So at some point, might we talk about whether or not we meant to do it, knew what we were doing, or if we didn't think of the ramifications of people not being happy with having to go 20 on Saturday or Sunday, holidays, and when kids are not in session.
Mr. Feilberg, the 20 miles an hour, is it 20 miles an hour from 7:30 to 4:30 on Saturdays and Sundays? Okay. All right, thank you. Okay, including Saturdays and Sundays. All right. Okay, thank you. So are you asking that be put on an agenda for discussion? Okay. Is another council member interested in bringing that back? Okay, I see plenty. So we'll go ahead and we'll slate that for an upcoming council meeting. Thank you. Anything further from council members? All right. I'm sorry, Delegate 15. Who's Delegate 15? I guess I'll find out. Oh, there you are.
Whenever you're ready. It's a Senate agenda stuff.
Oh, yes. Your question being?
Oh, sure. I was just going to point out that the Legislative Affairs Committee meeting was canceled for next week. We do have a TVD meeting at 6:30, so we are hoping to confirm a quorum for that meeting at 6:30, and our chairperson for the Monroe Transportation Benefit District Board is Board Member Hanford, so he will be chairing that meeting in this space, and then, of course, followed by a regular meeting at 7 o'clock. I just wanted to remind you all of that start time.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Knightley, take us through the extended agenda, please.
Certainly. So for Tuesday the 18th, for the Transportation Benefit District, we will be going over and adopting the budget for 2019 fiscal year, and then the approval of the minutes from the April 17th meeting. And as was previously mentioned, that's a 6:30 start time.
for the upcoming agendas then, if we are looking at the study session for September 18th, we will be, as Mr. Dickerson mentioned, both having an update from the PROACT team presentation, but we will have a presentation from the Monroe Rotary for the canine project donation. So we will be looking forward to that. The Rotary has been working hard all year raising money for the city's canine program, and this will be the opportunity for them to be recognized for that hard work. We're also going to be then getting the updates that were missed at the special meeting on July 31st for the six-year financial forecast from its Hassard, and then I'll be providing the update on the six-year strategic plan as well. So I think these are really appropriate kind of heading into our budget discussions that will be happening in October and November. For your September 25th meeting, we will be doing the resolution, as I mentioned earlier, for the Economic Development Advisory Board continuation, and then also talking about the food bank lease agreement. The food bank is applying for a grant, and they need to update their lease in order to have a 20-year lease to be eligible for that grant application. On Tuesday, then, looking forward to October 2nd, just a reminder that that's the meeting that is the joint meeting between the City Council, the East County Park and Recreation District, and your Parks Board, and we will be talking about the Parks Board, the Parks Department reorganization, and then the proposed bond and levy measure for November 2019.
Any questions? Just a second. Councilmember Cutterback.
So I just wanted to I think I mentioned this before, but I will be out of town on business next Tuesday, the 18th, and then I will also be out of town on work business on Tuesday, the 25th. So I will miss two meetings.
Okay. Do we have anybody else missing the 25th? Right. All right. So important question. We are right at a quorum on the 25th. Is everybody going to be here and on time on the 25th that's left? Please let us know as soon as possible if there is a change, because we are exactly at a quorum on the 25th right now. Is that correct? We'll be preparing the packet for the 25th the week before. Actually, we're starting that now. So if you anticipate that you're not going to be here on the 25th, please let us know as soon as possible so that we can make adjustments to our schedule and adjust priorities, okay? All right. Councilmember Gamble.
I will be absent Tuesday, the 30th.
October 30th. Okay. We're missing three. Right. We're missing Cutterback, Hanford, and Camp. All right. Anything further? All right. We do have a need for an executive session this evening. The executive session is approximately 10 minutes. Okay. Is it for pending potential litigation? Person to RCW 42.30.110, subsection 1, subsection little I, for approximately 10 minutes. And with no action to follow except, with the potential for action to follow at least to adjourn, if nothing else. All right, we are now in executive session. Thank you. All right, thank you. We're back on the record. Before we conclude, I did intend to mention during the mayor's report my gratitude for the work that our staff has done in putting together chambers here. The coordination, having us over at the fire district, I think this space is going to mean a lot for our court, mean a lot for the council. It creates a room, a multi-purpose facility where we can have meetings and things. Over the next couple weeks, you'll see black and white photos of from our historical society. I look forward to seeing those pop up. We'll also have black and white photos of activities from today, just to show the contrast without having the color. I think the black and white is going to look really nice. Again, if staff, if you could express my gratitude for all the work they've done, I would greatly appreciate it.
And with that, we have no further business this evening. If I'm reading this correctly, Councilmember Hanford, you had it first.
I have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. We're adjourned. Thank you. Have a great evening.